Hey guys, Kelly Mano here, kicking off episode 56 of the podcast. If you're new to the show, we run a really fun, silly, lighthearted podcast, which is really difficult for us to do in hard times, especially the past week with the events that happened in Orlando. And we covered the Orlando shooting last week, and it was a really hard show, and it really drained us. And just when I thought that it was time to have a little fun again, it seems like news just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. So I'm going to say my piece here and what I feel needs to be said and how I feel about the latest issue. And then we're going to move on and then we're going to have fun with the show because, you know, that's what you do. You always have to keep moving forward. But I'm referencing specifically the event in Orlando where the 2-year-old boy was eaten by the alligator while he was on vacation with his family in Disney. As if our country didn't go through enough last week, it seemed like every time we caught our breath, there'd come another blow. And I know as a mom myself that this particular incident just rocked me to my core. And I saw probably some of the ugliest parts of humanity over the week. If you were one of the people on Facebook this week that were judging and criticizing and blaming those parents for the death of their son, you're an asshole of epic proportions. Those parents just witnessed the most horrific, pain-searing, heart-ripping moment that anyone on this earth could ever go through. It was a random act of nature, a fateful, unforeseen tragedy. Their world will be dark for so long. Their pain is so great right now that it actually takes them effort to breathe. And if you took time out of your day to publicly judge and criticize those parents and shame them and tell them all the things they should have done right instead of love them, that tells me everything I need to know about you. Our differences make this world go around. They really do. If you want to debate politics, environment, sports, gun laws, have at it. All of those things are up for debate. If we all felt the same way about everything, it'd be a very boring world. But a dead 2-year-old is not up for debate, especially one that was killed in front of his parents. If you don't have anything loving to say to that family or about that family, then don't say anything at all. Sometimes in life, bad things happen to good people. Sometimes the planets just align for catastrophe and there's not anything anyone can do. And sometimes there's not someone to blame. It was an accident. Quit looking for someone to blame. It is so important to be loved. People need our love. Those parents, more than anything, need our love right now. They need our good thoughts. They need our prayers, if you believe. And again, they need love. If you are one of the people on Facebook over the weekend shaming the parents for the death of their child, you are an asshole. I don't need you as a listener, and I don't need you as a friend. I have plenty of both. Now enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen.
System loading.
The Kelly Mano Show.
You're on a mission from God.
Is on the air.
Is on the air. Are there any questions before we proceed?
Radio signal from another world.
In three.
What would you been waiting for?
Oh, here's like
a... Two.
Start the show. Start the show.
One.
It is the Kelly Mano Radio Podcast, episode 56, here with my best friend, Hans,
yeah.
And producer Gary, and we have not even celebrated the first day of summer yet. Did you know that?
It sure feels like we have.
No, summer has not even started yet, and my children are sucking my brains out of my head.
Yeah?
Like, day by day by day.
Oh, fun times.
We are only, I guess, like, 2 weeks into summer vacation, maybe three,
mm-hmm.
and I already feel like I'm counting down for when they go back to school.
Ready to send them to overnight camp?
And it's not even close. And I think that it would be different if I didn't work from home, because I have a aside from the podcast, I'm also a full-time photographer.
Sure.
And I operate out of this office in my house, and I have this little army of people that I created myself that you have to feed them so much.
Yeah.
Like, I get so tired of feeding them. If there's one thing that I get...
Mom! Yeah. Mom, I'm hungry.
If there's one thing that I get tired of parenting is feeding my kids. Because I will fold laundry or scrub toilets 40 times before I have to think of what they're going to eat for the 19th time that day.
How many stupid fights have you broken up this summer?
8 million.
Mom!
And the best
Mom,
one...
Mom, someone so-and-so did this.
The best one was, I have a bride, like, wanting to book me for a wedding. And trying to make phone calls, like business calls from home, are hysterical when the kids are home. So I don't do it hardly at all.
Right.
But I did have this one phone call to make. And so I look up, and it's been here in St. Louis, it has been like 98 degrees all week. Everybody's exhausted. Everybody's tired. The heat makes us tired and crabby.
Yep.
And I'm getting ready to make this bridal phone call, and I'm like, you know, I should check on the kids real quick before I get on the line. And I look up, and I see the sliding glass door wide open for the 40th time that day.
Of course.
Again, it's 98 degrees, and I hear nothing but, like, commotion in the backyard. It sounds like kids that are fighting. And so I go to the backyard, you know, prepared to start, you know, yelling at my kids. And what I see is our pet pig, who lives in our house, Piggy Smalls, he has a bell that he rings when he goes outside to go to the bathroom.
Right.
Well, I guess he ran out the door with such force that somehow the bell lassoed around his tail.
Oh, fun.
And he's pissed, okay? So he is 60 pounds of pissed off pork, like running around the backyard, like on a mission with this bell going ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. And so Lucy and Libby Lou are trying to chase the pig to get the bell off of him.
Which only pisses him off more.
Because he thinks they did it to him. He doesn't realize that he got the bell hooked on himself. And it was like, you know, it literally looked like a parade of crazy people. And within like 30 seconds after that, like Lucy stepped in dog poop and Libby Lou fell down crying. And I just remember like standing there going, it's still June.
Yep.
It's still June.
That's when you just shut the door quietly and turn around like you weren't there.
Yeah. And then
go back about your day.
And then they bang on it and scream really loud and the neighbors call the cops on you.
Oh.
You were an only child, but you were a large child. I cannot imagine how much your parents had to feed you.
You know what? I was never like a really big eater. I was just always really tall.
Yeah. Because Rocky's only 11 and he eats us out of house and home.
I would eat a lot when I was getting ready to grow. But that would be about it.
Yeah.
I was never the guy who was like, Mom, I want another pizza.
Like Rocky?
Yeah.
You just impersonated.
Really?
You impersonate Rocky really well, by the way.
I wasn't even trying to. But I mean, I was never that kid who... like, would just be like, I want more food. Where's the food?
Yes, that is all there is. And, like, I will spend $240 at the grocery store, and 2 days later, they're like, we don't have any food. Where's the food? What's funny is my husband is the same way.
Right.
He's like, we don't have any food. I'm like, we have bread. You can make toast. We have eggs. You can squeeze. He's like, I mean something that you take out of a box.
Right. We don't have any real food. You know, like fruit roll-ups and that's cookies.
That's exactly what they all mean. Because, yeah, anything that takes work. And then the amount of empty boxes that I find in my cupboard, I could make a fort. I could make a fort of empty boxes of like cereal and Nutrigrain bars and all the crap that my kids just eat the last one and just stick it back in there.
When I lived in L.A., I roomed with a good friend of mine from college, and it was the worst mistake I made because he was just not a clean roommate.
Yeah.
And he was the king of like, he would take the last of something or use the last of something and put the box or whatever back in the cupboard or fridge or whatever. And I got so mad one day because I got up on a Saturday morning, poured my cereal, go to the milk, and open it up and go to pour it. Nothing. And he's in there sleeping, so I just took the empty carton, went into his room, and hurled it like a football right at his forehead. He woke up, and I was like, go to the effing store now!
Speaking of cereal, why can't men open cereal boxes? It's like you literally make a fist, punch a hole in it, rip the shit out of the top.
Oh, no, it's worse.
Then put it back!
I can give you one that's even worse. My father, God bless him... If there is a
Your
top...
father would fit in perfectly with my kids.
Yes.
He would be like my fourth child.
He is a 68-year-old toddler.
Yes, he is.
If there is a up to anything, he will look at the box, look at all the sides, see this is the top, turn it upside down, and then open it the wrong way.
Why does he open things upside down?
He doesn't do it intentionally. He also, if someone had a gun to my mom's head and said, Dan... The only way to save your wife is to correctly close this Ziploc bag.
Yellow and blue make green.
My mom is dead. it's just the way it is.
I told you guys, I think I told this story before, that one of the biggest fights that Jimmy and I ever got in was on like a Mother's Day when all I wanted him to do was like fix breakfast for the kids. And so I sent him in to open a can of biscuits.
Oh, no.
And, you know, I thought... Everybody on the planet knew how to open a can of biscuits. It says on the sign,
you peel tear out the paper, you kind of like twist it.
You press a spoon, you do this. Well, I am like trying to like relax, and I think I was taking a shower or something, and I hear Jimmy screaming, There's something wrong with the biscuits.
There's something wrong with the biscuits.
He's like, it's exploding. I got to go to the store. He had used a can opener on the top of the biscuits.
And they're just flying out the
top. So as soon as he got the tiniest crack in it, all of the dough started slithering out like a snake, like one of those snakes you burn on the 4th of July.
That's fantastic.
And he honestly thought it was a bad can of biscuits. Because he was the youngest of nine, and his mom did everything for him.
That's amazing.
He was a 30-year-old man, and he had never in his life opened a can of biscuits.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And so that was, that was fun. But you spent the weekend hanging out with one of your rock bands.
I did. I have very good friends who I've known for over a decade.
Yeah.
And the band Hinder. And they played. They're on an acoustic tour right now. Because they just put out an acoustic EP, and they were up in Springfield, Illinois.
This is my favorite song, though. It's totally on my iTunes.
I had a realization yesterday of how I know I'm getting old.
Oh, God. I had one of those this weekend, too.
So 10 years ago, me hanging out with the boys in Hinder would have been... I met at the door of the bus with a shot and a beer, and it would have been downhill from there.
Right.
It just sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Right.
Like, girls the whole nine yards.
Yes.
So I get on the bus yesterday, and we're sitting there, and they're watching Rocky on DVD.
Yeah.
And the first question is, hey, man, we just made a pot of coffee. Do you want a cup of coffee? Not Irish coffee.
Right.
Just regular coffee. And I was like,
real coffee.
Man, we're old.
We're old.
And so, like, you know, we have a couple of beers before the show and dinner and all that. And then after the show, we're back on the bus, and we're showing each other pictures of, like, houses that they've bought. And I just had this, I just stopped and I was like, what has happened to us?
We should be showing pictures of boobs.
When did we get old? Where are the girls? What happened to the Jaeger machine on the bus?
Yes.
You guys are making pots of coffee. We're talking about real estate portfolios.
Oh, yeah.
What is wrong with us?
When you start, like, getting excited about, like, kitchen appliances stuff like that. I mean, I had a realization that I am old, and we are going to talk about it. Actually, whenever we get back, because it has to do with, because you guys were there. I don't know if you really saw all of it, but it has to do with me schooling my son in Pac-Man over the weekend.
Nice.
But I wanted to mention before we go, you know, the Manos are like T-minus 14 days of moving into the Turtle House.
Yeah.
And so I've got some stuff to move. I've got my awesome Sassy, Classy, and a Bit Smart Essie pink tumblers.
Yep.
They're on sale right now for $18, and anybody who orders one this week before I move gets a free sample of Advocare Spark Fruit Punch in their cup. If you just go to kellymano.com and scroll down on the right side, you can check out the cups and the t-shirts. And like I said, we are moving, so I am wanting to get a lot of this stuff out of my house. And everybody who's gotten them has loved them. I need to get your mom one of my cups.
Yeah.
Gary's wife has one of my cups, Ree. She loves hers. She's got the old school cup.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. The teal one, right?
Yeah, I went with a bigger one. So
cool.
If you want to see what they look like, just head over to kellymano.com and you can place your order right there. We'll be right back. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
The Kelly Mano Show.
Come on! Mondays suck a little bit less.
Because the Kelly Mano Show is on the air.
The Kelly Mano Show is proudly brought to you by Arrow Insurance Specialties. They are located in Collinsville, Illinois, with over 20 years of experience, but they can help anyone in the metro area. They helped the Manos. They've got our car insurance covered. They're working on the Turtle House to get that covered. I absolutely love working with Angela. She's been an independent insurance agency rep for 7 different companies. And so basically what you do is you just email her your information and say, hey, here's my cars, my make, my model, or here's my house and how big it is and how many bedrooms it has. She will shop it for you, and she will come back with the best quote she can find you. If she can't find you the best quote, she'll be honest with you. She has done so many great things for us and our family. You can give her a call at 314-450-8384. You can also go to her website, which is www.aeronow.net. We had no idea how much money we were losing on our home and auto insurance with one of the really big popular chains that we thought had our back and didn't. So we sent the the information over to Angela at Arrow. She took care of everything for us. Again, if you want to get in touch with her, you can call her at 314-450-8384 or www.arrownow.net. Make sure you tell her that Kelly Mano sent you. I spent all week with the Cardinals.
That's pretty awesome, actually.
I forgot to talk about that. It's
That's a great week.
It is. So I do photography for, gosh, nearly almost all of the Cardinals charities, Mike Matheny's Catch-22 Foundation, the Homers for Health Foundation. I actually do some of the campaign work for them. And so on Tuesday, I just wanted to shout out to the Cardinals because these guys work so hard. And I know, yes, they are millionaires. We get it. Money only goes so far when you've got happiness and a family and other things to balance in your life. So
that's true.
These guys get like one day off every 10 days. And yeah. I work. They had 2 days off this week. And on Tuesday, Matt Carpenter ran this huge camp for kids. And he doesn't need the extra money. No. I don't even know if he gets paid for it. It might even be, you know, just a volunteer thing. So I was with Matt all day for his camp. You saw the picture of me riding on his golf cart like a pageant queen.
Yes.
Because it started raining, and so of course they bring up a golf cart for him and to would zip him back in the rain, and he's like, I'm not leaving her, look at all that equipment she's got, but there was nowhere for me to go, so I just stick my butt on the hood of his golf cart.
It's amazing.
And he would only go like 1 mile an hour because he didn't want to hurt me.
Right.
I'm like, dude, go fast, because if you throw me off this cart and I break my arm, that's the coolest ass story ever.
Yeah.
I'll be telling people forever, like, Matt Carpenter went around a like 90 degree turn, tossed me off, and I broke my arm and lived to tell about it, and here's my scar. But no, and so he took off that day for that. And then a couple days later, he did the Homers for Health game shows.
That seems like fun, and I've never gone to that. I don't know why.
It is the most fun I ever have every single year, and I get on Facebook and I tell everybody, you need to go to game shows. All of the Cardinal players get on stage and they play like Family Feud and the Newlywed Game, and you get to ask them funny questions, and all of the proceeds go to Cardinal Glennon.
Which is great.
And then, yeah, I mean, it sells out. There was a huge crowd there. My mom got to come this year.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then there's like a mystery photo booth where you don't know who's behind, you don't know what Cardinal's behind the screen until you pull it back, and so that's always fun. So my mom got Matt Holliday.
Oh, nice.
And then I think Lions and somebody else, I don't remember, but it was a ton of fun. And so that, like, this week Matt Carpenter literally had 2 days off, and he spent both of the days donating his time to kids, and he's got a 13-day-old baby at home.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing to think about is a lot of the team sports that do that, you know, football, basketball, hockey, well, they'll do it in the summer because the weather's nice, but also it's their off season.
Right.
You know, the Cardinals are in the middle of the season right now.
Yes, and they're just, you know, working their butts off, and so I know they weren't doing really good for a while. That was during...
They're getting better.
Yeah, so like during Blues playoffs, I can't focus on anything else.
I can't either.
Starting to watch now and kind of, you know, get things going.
Well, there's not many teams in pro sports that I think give back as much to the community as the St. Louis Cardinals.
There aren't, and I see it all the time. And, you know, Matt and Leslie Holliday just have literally hearts of gold. I mean, I've seen Matt Holliday cry like a baby on at least 5 occasions over, you know, their stuff. Because I'm on the inside of things, there's things that I know that he's done and other people have done that'll never make the news because they don't want cameras there. Like, you'll see it once in a while. Like, they'll all go and do like a big tour and take photos because it's good promotion for the hospital. But all the times that Matt has grabbed one of his home run balls and swung by the hospital on his way home. And I mean, I could just tell you story after story.
He's easily my favorite Cardinal player.
Isn't he?
And has been for a long time.
And I think he's really misunderstood because he's kind of quiet.
There's nothing wrong with that.
When I first started working for the Cardinals, I was always scared to have him because I'm always assigned a player. Like, okay, you're with this guy all day long. And I was always nervous when his name, I'm like, well, what are we going to talk about? Because he doesn't really talk that much. But when you get to know him, he's really funny.
I can see that.
And at game shows, he's hysterical.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, we have a friendship, and it's, I'll never act like that stuff isn't cool.
Sure. Like, no, it's very cool.
I'll never act too big for it. I'll never act like, oh yeah, just another day at the office. Like, I'm so proud that I get to be like on the inside of that, and some of the stories I get to hear.
It is a cool thing when you get to be part of a group and you get to see behind the mm-hmm. curtain a little bit.
Yeah.
And you get to see what real life is. And yeah. regardless of the celebrity, be it music or sports yeah. or whatever, it's cool when you can genuinely have a friendship with that person, not yeah. just the persona.
Well, and my mom got to see it this weekend. So yeah. she knows I work with the Cardinals, but she doesn't get to see me work sure. with the Cardinals. So like Matt Holliday got mad at me and threw a towel at my head on stage because I thought he wanted a towel because he was sweating. Yeah. So I threw him a towel. He's like, no, Kelly, I don't want this. And he threw it back and hit me in the head. He wanted a new card for this game thing. And it was like miscommunication.
Oh.
And so my mom just thought that was so cool to That's see awesome. Me interacting with them just on like a goofy, fun,
right.
Laid back level. But we talked a little bit about this next segment. And Gary, you can probably contribute to this a little bit because you were there. We talked about feeling old.
Oh, yeah.
Haas and I are in our late 30s. Gary is of an age, I don't know, do you want to mention?
Yeah, I was born in 19...
Okay, so over the weekend, you know, my husband manages this band that everybody's known as Clockwork for a long time. They changed their name to Hounds, and it's this big unveiling that we're probably going to talk about more in the coming weeks and maybe even have them on. But it was their big debut concert on Saturday night?
Friday night.
Was yeah. that when it was?
Yeah.
And so Jimmy had to get there early. So I rode with Haas and Rocky. He took us up there. And, you know, there's a bunch of opening bands. So, of course, Rocky's bored to death.
Right. He doesn't care.
No, he's 11. And he's like, he had like literally 85 Sprites. When he went up to the bar, the guy's like, as long as you bring back your cup, you get a free soda.
Which he didn't quite understand at first.
No, he could not.
My favorite was... Rocky asked for a soda. And we're like, yeah, it's fine. So he's standing in line. Jimmy gives him money and goes, get you and your mom a soda. And she's running and goes, but I want my own. Yeah. She's like, no, get two.
Yes.
One for you. But I want my own.
I want my own. Like,
I must have missed that.
No, yeah, Rocky, God bless him. I'm so glad he's good at sports because he's really going to need it. I mean, he makes okay grades, you know, like it's not like he's flunking out of school, but the kid just doesn't have common sense, like at all.
It'll come.
Yeah. Will he ever, because he's been a dumb jock since he was like four. Like he would come home from kindergarten and I'd be like, how was your day at school? He's like, oh, it's fine. The girl with the sharp hair fell and hurt her knee. I'm like, the girl with the sharp hair? He's like, I don't know her name. I'm like, you have to learn your friends' names, Rocky. Like,
yeah.
You know, hit ball, run far. Like all he cares about is like sports and kind
he
of girls.
I was going to say, he probably doesn't realize the girl's name because he doesn't care about girls right now.
I guess so. But what he does care about, so I have an injury right now on my right ring finger because we were at the show and there was an old vintage Pac-Man game.
Yep.
And I don't mean a refurbished one from like 2005. No. This was the original Miss Pac-Man. And I'm like, Rocky, you got to play Miss Pac-Man. And so I ran and I got him 50 cents. And he could not figure out where to put it in the machine, first
of
all.
He was very confused.
He was so confused. And so the first thing he asked was, why is it attached to this big box? And I'm like, why is what attached to this box? He's like, the game. Why is it on this big box? I'm like, that box is the game. He's like, no, but where'd they put the game at? I'm like, no, the game is not on like a disc or like a drive. I'm like, the game is inside the box. And he's like, yeah. But why is it so big? You can't take it anywhere. I'm like,
you're not supposed to take
it
anywhere.
I'm like, shut up and play Pac-Man. So then,
oh, get it
right. So then he puts in the quarters, and I don't know about you guys. I grew up like in my parents were in bowling leagues.
Oh yeah,
and so we would be in smoky bowling in Granite City, Illinois, or Tri City Bowl, and they're like, here's a couple of quarters. Do not bother us unless somebody's bleeding. We'll see you at the end of the night. Right?
Right.
I mean, yeah. That's
pretty much.
Mine was basically. All the grocery stores, like the Shop and Save by my parents' house, always had at least two or three games.
See, I don't even remember
that. My
mom
and dad would be like, here's $2. We're going to go shopping.
Right.
Do not leave these games.
Right.
And I'm like, all right, cool. And I play video games for like 25 minutes while they would go and do their thing.
And so Rocky puts his money in. And I'm trying. I went from normal mom to like pissed off Pac-Man coach in 30 seconds. Because, you know, I'm all about like algorithms, and like I have a great memory, and I can do a Rubik's Cube. And so like I mastered Pac-Man when I was a kid. I could get through all the levels. And Rocky is just puts in his quarters and he's just blipping around, and I'm like, you can't do that shit. You can't eat the big pellet if there's not a ghost by you. You gotta sit in the corner and wait for the ghost. Then when the ghost comes, then you eat the big pellet. And like he was so over it after.
He's like, well, I don't know what are you doing?
Yeah. So he got killed like 3 times in a row, and then he was
game
done.
Over. Right.
And I'm like, and then I was on a mission. And so trying to find cash these days is really hard. So I was going up to like the musician's mom's. I'm like, who's got a purse? I'm like, you have any quarters in there? And well, I found
you came up to Haas and I both.
Did yeah. I? I was yeah. running around to everybody in the club. I'm like, I need 50 cents. I need 50 cents. So I found 50 cents. I put in my 250 cents and I took Pac-Man all the way
Wait,
through.
Wait, were they charging 50 cents to play?
Yes.
That's bullshit.
It is bullshit. I put in one quarter and it said one more credit and I gave it the double finger.
Yeah, I was like, F you.
There's your
I know
right
how much
there.
Pac-Man costs, man.
Yes. And so I, for the first time, touched a Ms. Pac-Man machine in, what, 25 years?
Yeah.
And I went through 7 levels flawlessly.
That's awesome.
Flawlessly. Like, it came back so easy. Like, the patterns and the algorithms, because
it never leaves you.
No, especially because, like, 2 of the ghosts, like, have random patterns, but 2 of them don't. And so, like, I know, like, Rocky was freaking impressed.
You know, there's 2 things that you should do with Rocky right now on the heels of this story. One is, there is a retro arcade in Chesterfield Mall.
Oh, yeah?
Called the Neutral Zone. And it's either $10 or $15 unlimited play.
Nice.
And it's all the old cabinets.
Do they have, like, the old Nintendo games?
They do have some of those.
What was your first, gaming system? Because I think...
I had an Atari.
Okay, I barely remember an Atari, because you're like 2 years older than me, I think. And I remember my dad and mom playing Atari more than us.
Yep.
But I do remember Frogger.
Oh, yeah.
Where you hop across the little logs, and I think, do trucks come, or are you
trucks
on water?
Trucks come, then you have to jump on logs across water.
Right.
Frogger was the shit. Like, all I remember is being, like, in my basement on Fortune Street with, like, burnt orange shag carpeting and playing Frogger with my mom and my dad and brother. And it was,
you know,
like,
what,
the coolest thing ever.
What really sucks is my mom and dad, mainly my mom because my dad doesn't care, still has the old Atari in, like, 50 games. Because back in the day, games were, like, $5-$10.
Yeah.
And they won't work on the new TVs.
Man.
But you're now seeing a lot of retro game systems are coming out that you could plug in your old Nintendo games and they'll work on the high-def TVs.
Yeah.
They haven't made one for Atari yet that I'm aware of, and I've asked. If anybody knows where you could get a retro system that will play old Atari games, let me know. They sell systems now. Like, you can go to Walgreens and buy an Atari that's got, like, 100 games already loaded on it.
But it's not the same.
It's all the Atari games, but they can't, because of licensing, have the licensed games. So you won't have Frogger and you won't have Pac-Man. And those are the 2 games.
The Atari just had, like, the black joystick with one red button in the corner, right?
Yep.
Gary, what was your first thing?
You have Pong?
Well, that was on Atari.
Yeah.
But, no, I actually had a ColecoVision.
Oh, that was the... Dude, you were high rolling.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is.
ColecoVision was, like, next level game.
Was
for
it?
For Atari, yeah.
My real, like, you know, so we had the Frogger for a while in the Atari, and then we had Super Mario Brothers. Mm-hmm. And that came with Duck Hunt, right? Like,
yep.
Those were the 2 games that you got was, you know, Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt. You know when, you want to know when video games jumped the shark? When it started with all the codes, like, here's your code and skip 5 levels, and here's the code to break this. I liked it when you just old school had, like, beat every single level to save the princess.
Up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, start.
Right.
See, that's when I started not liking it.
Half of our listeners know exactly what I said.
Exactly.
Do you know what I said?
Yep.
Was that, like, a code to get through Super Mario?
No, it was the code for 30 lives in Contra.
Okay. Yep.
Which was a very... very popular game. I also used to know the code to go directly to Mike Tyson in Punch-Out.
Punch-Out was the shit. And the big fat guy, when you hit him in the X and his drawers would drop down.
Yep.
Right.
We had, not only did we have Punch-Out, my Aunt Jamie had that big running pad for the Olympic Games.
I did too.
Yeah.
Where you could run and jump hurdles, and all of my old aunts would do it. And we have all these pictures of them jumping in the air, and, like, one boob is up and one boob is down. And
fun fact, I still have my Nintendo with the running pad.
Does it work?
Yes, it does.
Do you have to blow in the games to get them to work? Who started that?
I don't know.
Some dumb shit kid.
Supposedly, it doesn't work, but Look, man, I'm living proof that shit works. Because that and banging it on your knee.
Yes.
Those are the things that worked.
Like, there was literally just, like, some dumb kid who's like,
I should.
Blowing it and it'll work. And then, like, every 90s kid was like.
When you move into the Turtle House,
yeah.
I will bring over the Nintendo and the running pad. And we will unleash your kids on the track and field game with the running pad. And just videotape it and fall over laughing hysterically.
That would be amazing. And my other favorite game whenever we were little was, it was the first ice hockey Nintendo game.
Fat guy, medium guy, little
and
guy.
And skinny guy. And you really had to strategize like how many fat guys and skinny guys you needed.
Because the fat guys were super slow, but you nobody could knock them off the puck.
But then the skinny guys were fast, but you could knock them off the puck.
Yep.
And so, but those are, I think right after those three, it was when I discovered like boys and cheerleading and my video game days were long over. Like Rocky has a Xbox with a couple of sports games that he rarely plays.
Yeah.
So Rocky's not a video game. None of us are real big video games, but I would love to run the old like Super Mario Brothers.
Oh yeah.
Like beginning to end, try to save the princess.
My parents insisted that I get the Nintendo with the running pad because they're like, if you're playing video games,
you're at least gonna be moving. Oh, that reminds me, I think we have a Wii too, but I don't even know where that ended up.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have time for video games.
I have a PS4, which is crack.
Is it?
Oh yeah.
Can you like sit around and play it? My Aunt Linda does that. My Aunt Linda
has a habit.
My Aunt Linda has some like shooting game where you're on teams with people across the country, and she's been on teams with these people for like 4 and 5 years.
I play a game called Destiny on PS4, which it's like a big open world cooperative game, but I play with guys on a daily basis that are over in Ireland and the UK.
That's right, because you said you got to get up at weird times to play with them.
Yep.
That's crazy. See, I miss the good old days. All right, so I think, I don't even know if we talk what we're going to talk about, but yeah, I am going to go put a Band-Aid on my Pac-Man finger because
we need to take the kids to this arcade.
That would be fun.
Oh, for sure.
Because I freaking schooled Rocky's ass. Like, he was legitimately impressed.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't make it past the first level in Pac-Man.
Because arcades nowadays, like, kids don't know. You go to Dave & Buster's, and it's just giant version of phone games.
I was nearly rocking the entire machine to get through, and you know, different things. And then the little scenes when you get through past, like, every three levels. First, they meet, and then they chase each other, and then they have a baby.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Do you remember Baby Pac-Man?
Kind of.
Half arcade game, half pinball?
Is that what it was?
Yep.
We need to put some cool stuff in the Turtle House. We got a whole basement that we haven't finished that, you know.
I found my dream game. It's at Amini's right now, but it's $5,000.
Oh, God. Everything at Amini's is $5,000.
It's the Guns N' Roses pinball machine. they made a very, very limited number of them.
Yeah.
And they've got one. And I'm just like, oh.
We should do my whole basement in just like 80s games. That would be awesome.
They've got them.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We'll be right back. It is the Kelly Mano Show. Like I wish you would. Now push it.
Sassy, classy, and a little smartassy.
Okay, the classy part might be a stretch. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
The Kelly Mano Show is brought to you by our good friend Tim Milton, also known as Addison, with Ultimate Party Entertainment, providing audio, visual, and entertainment for corporate events since 1994. So what exactly do they do? It can be hard to understand, but to break it down like this, if your company is having a meeting, they can provide projectors, screens, microphones, laptops, lighting, anything you need, no matter how big or small. They can also provide all of the elements of your meeting, including, you know, a DJ, microphone, photo booth, decor, drapes. This could be for weddings. This could be for corporate events, anniversary parties, nightclubs, private parties. Timmy can do it all. He's going to be so mad that I called him Timmy.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Speaking of Addison, people want the dinosaurs back.
Oh, I know they
do. Like, they will not stop talking about it, so I'm going to have to reach out to him and see if he wants to put on the old costume again. So, and when I call him, I'm going to call him at 314-920-7789. That is Ultimate Party Entertainment, providing audio, visual, and entertainment for corporate events since 1994. If you need to use them, make sure that you mention the Kelly Mano Show because he will give you 10% off. TikTok, you don't stop. To the TikTok, you don't stop. To the That's one of those weird songs that goes around your speakers.
Yeah.
What do they call that?
Surround sound?
No, there's like a certain, because there's a couple other songs where, like, when they start, it'll be like in your left speaker and then your right speaker.
All right.
You don't believe me? You work
no,
in music.
No, I know, I know.
You just don't know. It's either
I don't
like,
know what the technical term
it's
is.
It's either like in stereo or not in stereo.
5.1 Dolby surround sound?
I just know every time that song plays, it'll like go around my minivan. Yeah. Like, you know.
It's kind of awesome.
Because I listen to I Want to Sex You Up in my minivan all the time. Because apparently I'm a giant pervert. And I didn't know
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we never got to talk about this last week.
Well, because
it was
kind
a serious show, but
I'm kind of embarrassed, to be honest with you.
So run me through the context of how you solicited two hockey coaches to Netflix and chill.
Listen, first of all, for those of you parents who don't know out there, apparently Netflix and chill means
booty call.
It means a complete booty call. It means having sex, doing the horizontal poker, whatever you want to call it. I thought, you know, like there have been times where I thought maybe it meant like to make out or something, but like it like officially just means, do you want to have sex?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, were you the one that posted that really funny video of like a night of Netflix and chill?
Yeah.
Gary, we have to put that on the blog. Put Netflix and chill video because it's hysterical.
My arm's asleep.
Yeah, you know, I thought maybe it meant something different, but I could have sworn that I saw that I almost bought Lucy a shirt that said it.
Don't.
Well, because they made it in kids' versions, and so Lucy and I'm always like, well, it's Netflix and chill. I had no idea that it meant have sex with people.
Yeah.
And so the kids, Lucy and Rocky, did a hockey camp last week.
Right.
For our friend Tyler that does these great hockey camps, and it was after, like, the kids had already done, like, hours of hockey camp, and then they decided that they were going to stay and do the open session.
Uh-huh.
And so I had been at this hockey rink for like 5 hours at this point.
Uh-huh.
And so we're in the lobby and we're trying to get our stuff to leave. And there's these two coaches left that are like, I don't know, 18 or 19 years old. And they're not coaches that I know very well at all. But they're saying bye to Rocky and stuff. And they're getting ready to head back out on the ice to work more.
Right.
And I'm like, why are you guys still here? I'm like, you guys have been here longer than me. They're like, hey, we got to make a paycheck, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, aren't you like 19? Shouldn't you be like Netflix and chilling all day? And then I said, that's what we're doing back at the Mano house. And off we went. And like the look on their face.
Did you get weird looks?
Oh, yeah. Well, they both just stopped and looked at me like, she obviously does not know what this means.
Yeah.
And so I thought, what did I say wrong?
Well, the story is better than I thought, because when you first posted it, I had this horrible vision in my mind of you unwillingly going, well, if you guys don't have anything to do, you can come back to my house and Netflix and chill.
Yeah, no, I was like, that's what we're doing all day in my house, you know.
Oh, and I was just like, oh no, Kelly, did you just propose two dudes to come back to
I
your
pretty
house?
Much, you know, it's hard to even remember exactly how I worded it, because even Jimmy came home and quizzed me. He's like, what did you say to those guys? I'm like, I don't know, it was quick, we were leaving, we had two hockey bags and three kids, and I said, why are you working so hard? You should Netflix and chill all day, come back to our house, that's what we're going to do all day. And it all came out, and like it was one of those things that as it was coming out of my mouth, my brain was thinking, this might not be the right thing to say.
Nope. Sure isn't.
And then it was just a complete they just looked at me so blankly. It was almost like they felt sorry for me. Like, oh my God, this poor old lady in her 30s does not know what she's talking
about.
Well,
you know what it is? And if we're going to go back to the starting to feel old thing is, because we've all had it with our parents.
Yeah.
Is when your parents will say something, and the term of what they're saying has changed over the years, and you look at them like,
don't say that in public.
Don't say that in public anymore.
Don't say that in public. Have you seen the funny, like, viral text where a lady texted her family, like a group text, and was like, I just want to let everybody know that Uncle Ron passed away suddenly of a heart attack this morning, LOL. And,
right.
And the kid's like, Mom, why did you put LOL? She's like, I thought it meant lots of love.
And she's no. Like, no.
And then for the longest time, I told my mom that WTF meant, well, that's fantastic.
Oh no!
I just like to mess with her because she's so.
when I was in college, I was home for the weekend and had friends home, and my mom shouts from downstairs. We're all up in my room, probably playing video games. Hey, Chris, have you seen my thong? Meaning her flip flops.
Flip flop.
And I was just like, Oh, Jesus.
It's funny. People use different words for different things, and it all depends on, like, where you're from. Like, I remember being in a grocery store with a friend of mine that's not from this area, and the guy behind us, he just happened to have, like, a kind of, like, a low voice. He's like, "Hey, will you tug my buggy while I go to the bathroom?"
And pardon me?
"Will you tug my buggy?" What he wanted me to do is pull his grocery cart along while he was in the bathroom, because we call it a buggy. And my friend was like, "What the hell did he just ask you to do?" I'm like, "Tug his buggy." He tug his buggy along.
Oh, wow.
So she was confused by that. And things definitely change over time. And I saw on Facebook what I thought was adorable. I think I showed you a picture of it. My husband found it. It was the Cheerio Challenge.
That's amazing.
I guess, like, a bored dad started stacking Cheerios on his sleeping newborn baby's nose just to see how high he could get. And then he snapped a picture of it and was like, "Okay, dad, it's your turn." So now all of these dads are trying to stack Cheerios on their kids while they're sleeping. And some of these, I'm starting to not trust some of them.
Okay.
Because of Photoshop.
All right.
But some of them are getting, like, 7, 8, 9 Cheerios on their kids, so I think we're going to try it on the pig.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because when
he... Does he sleep that soundly?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's when I paint his toenails, is when he's sleeping.
Got it.
And it made me think of... Hoss, you're not a parent yet, but if you become one, you will do weird things with your kids when no one is home.
Okay.
I don't know if Jimmy can really think of any, but I know... Because you're just bored, and, like, a baby falls asleep on you, and, like, you're just sleep exhausted. And I remember having little, like, sweet baby Rocky in my arms, and he was probably, like, 5 months old, maybe, sleeping. And I just thought,
he goes, "Mom, where's food?"
"Mom, where's the food?" No, I thought, I wonder how hard I would have to flick him in the head for it to, like, actually hurt and wake him up. And so,
good job, Kelly.
Listen, other people do this shit.
Sound just, services on line one.
Other people do this. They just don't say it out loud. So I'm holding sweet baby Rocky, and I take my middle finger under my thumb, and I just barely flick him in the forehead, like maybe a 1, and nothing happens. I'm like, "Okay, we're gonna try level 2. So then level 2, flick him right in the forehead. Nothing. I think I got to, like, level 4 or 5, and he kind of went, "Eh," and I'm like, "Okay, so it's a 5. And then I went on with my day.
I'm not going to say that you may have inflicted the current situation on your child, but, you know, kids' heads are soft when they're first born, and you're flicking them right in the melon.
You're really bored when you have kids. I remember when Lucy, it was in this house, so it must have been whenever Lucy was a baby. But Jimmy and I would do this funny thing where if one of us were coming home, we would try to put, like, when you walk in our garage door, the first thing you see is our kitchen, and we have, like, a breakfast bar. And so we would take turns, like, if I was coming home, I would open the door, and there would be, like, a 6-month-old Lucy sitting on, like, but it looked like nobody was holding her, because he'd be crouched behind her, and she'd have on, like, a backwards hat and, like, a gangster chain. And then, like, when he came home the next time, she'd have, like, a beer and a cigar in her hand. And
nice.
Then, like, we finally had to draw the line at, I think, like, a butter knife or something, because
we
kept trying to push the envelope and push the envelope.
Have you ever had the inappropriate laughing at your children?
Oh, all the time. I'm the worst grown-up ever. Like, I'm a great mom, but I am a terrible adult.
One of my parents' favorite stories to tell about me is, I don't know how old it was. I was still, I think, toddler-ish. And I guess I just woke up, and I was just being a shit. Like, just crabby and cranky about everything.
Yeah.
And they decided to take me to, we all went to breakfast at McDonald's. And I guess I dropped my napkin or my fork or something. And I bent down in the chair to get it and came up and just smashed my head on the bottom side of the table.
Yeah.
Started crying, like, hysterically. And both of my parents said they just burst into laughter.
Yeah. Oh, I laugh when my kids
in the middle of a McDonald's, to the point that they said other people were looking at them like, "What is wrong with you?"
If my kids get what they deserve, it's hysterical. Yep.
And that's what they're just like, "Serves you right, you little shit."
I remember trying to change Lucy's diaper once, and Rocky would not get out of, like, he kept, like, poking her or something. I'm like, get away. And he wouldn't get away. So I took the whole jar of, like, the baby powder, and I squirted it right in his face. And he was like, "What the hell was that, Mom?"
You
want
to know what happened the first time my dad tried to change my diaper?
Did he put it on backwards?
No. He was warned, have the flap ready, because cold air will do bad things.
Sure.
Instead of flipping the diaper back up over me, he just tried to pinch it off at the spout.
Oh, your wiener?
Yep.
Rocky levitated a paper towel.
And apparently, I screamed bloody murder. My mom was like, What are you doing to your son?
That's not normal.
No.
To pinch your son's urethra closed, that's not normal.
You've seen the conversations I have with my dad.
I tried. They got these things now called peepee teepees, and they didn't have those when Rocky was born. So I'd lay a paper towel over it, and I turned my back, and I could see the paper towel like levitating in the air.
Wow!
And he had peed it up into the air.
That's good work.
It was amazing. I have to say that my very favorite kid embarrassing story is my sweet friend. God, she's gonna kill me for telling this story because she's like the sweetest, like non attention seeking friend I have. But my friend Melissa Meyer, who's now Melissa Lane, she had her son Tyler, and he came up to her one day and said, "You know, I know where babies come from." And she said, "Okay, you know, how do you know this?" And he said, "Well, I saw it on TV." And this was right around the time that everybody was watching that, like, TLC A Birth Story, where they, like, kind of show it but don't show it. And she just kind of ignored him because he wasn't quite old enough to explain it. So she's like, okay, Tyler, sure, blah, blah, blah. Couple days later, they're in a store, and he wants something, and she won't get it for him. And he starts throwing, like, you know, holy hell shit fit over not wanting this toy.
Right, of course.
And then he turns around and he screams at her, "I'm just so mad at you that I wish I would have came out of somebody else's butthole."
Yeah.
Favorite kid story ever. We'll be right
back. That's amazing.
Bye. We'll be right back.
Kelly Mano Show.
The older she gets,
the more she understands Britney's 2007 meltdown.
Back once again.
It's the Kelly Mano Show.
The Kelly Mano Show is always proudly brought to you by JM Motors in Granite City, Illinois, one of my first sponsors ever. I remember going to visit the lot for the first time in JM Motors and being amazed that it was actually a pre-owned lot because they had as many, if not more, cars than you would see at a new car dealership. They can put you in a car for as low as $58 a week. They have in-house financing, so if you've fallen on hard times, you don't have good credit, even if you do have good credit, they can take care of you right there on the spot. JM Motors has been in business for over 50 years. No one can match the service that they give their buyers. They go above and beyond for every single one of them. My mom is in the market for a new vehicle, and I will be sending her to JM Motors as well. If you want to visit them, you can go to 2310 Namioki Road in Granite City, Illinois, just 10 minutes from the Arch. Their Facebook always has their most current inventory, so I'll link to that as well at kellymano.com. Just click on the JM Motors logo, and it will take you straight to their Facebook page. Make sure you tell them that Kelly Mano sent you.
Yo, back up now and give a brother room. The fuse is lit, and I'm about to go boom! Mercy, mercy, mercy me. My life was a cage, but on stage I'm free.
We have the one and only No Limit Honky in studio. So Honky, you have to get, like, you haven't been here since we got our new microphones. You have to get like third date close to that microphone.
Really?
Just like that.
I can get... How, like, close can
don't,
I get to
please,
it?
Just can don't I, lick it.
I want to get right on it.
We need to give him the yellow microphone cover from Farticus.
I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
You wouldn't wish that on anybody?
That's how you get pink eye.
That's how you get pink tongue if you lick something that came out of somebody else's butt. So anyway, Honky is back in town. How long are you in town for?
I'll be in St. Louis until the 1st of July.
And then where are you headed?
Then I go back home to Hollywood.
Woohoo!
Nice.
Yeah.
How exciting. Does it feel good to be, you know, kind of moving things back in that direction?
I feel like I'm going back to high school because I have to ask my parents to use their car and work it out with my little sister. And then my little brother's coming in here pretty soon, so I got to work it out with him. And
yeah.
I'm sleeping in an old room that, like, I went in there and my parents had, like, boxes and crap on it. So, you know.
Yep.
It's always weird.
It's great to be back.
It's weird to go back and sleep in your childhood home or something like that. Yeah. But Honky's been on our show several times. He's been in the Air Force for a couple of years now. Huh. And got a testicular cancer diagnosis, almost a year ago?
Correct. September.
Which sort of forced you into a little bit of an early retirement.
It did.
Which is why you are home now. Correct. And going back to L.A. to, you know.
That's right. So I'm an Air Force reservist. That's like my part-time gig, but my full-time, I'm a actor, comedian, TV host, and professional dumbass.
Awesome.
So, nice.
Yeah. So I'm going to be temporarily medically retiring from the Air Force Reserve. My hope is to return to duty, so I'll fight that when the time comes.
Sure.
I already tried, but unfortunately, it messes with my mobility and stuff. But
yeah.
It could be a blessing in disguise. We'll see how it plays out. I don't really know.
But your last doctor checkup went up really, really good, right?
It was awesome. Yeah, I had a CT scan almost 2 months ago. Yeah. Everything came back clean. It was good. So, yeah.
Yes. We love you. I know that last time that I saw you, you seemed a little down.
Yes.
It was, I could see it in your eyes.
It was chemo, too.
I could see it in your eyes. It wasn't just that you had cancer. It was that you were just having a hard, hard time. So we definitely thought and prayed a lot about you. I love it when you're home. And I love that you're going back to LA because that's where you belong.
It's my love. Improv is my soul. That's all I.
Yep.
The next time you come back from LA, just bring In-N-Out. That's all I request.
Deal. That's a deal. I could FedEx it or something.
You really do love improv. And
it's my soul, man.
That is a really specific craft because acting is one thing.
Indeed.
Improv is a whole nother.
Improv, you have to have like a special part of your brain missing or enlarged.
One of the two.
I want to say it's anyone can do it. You know, it's just a matter of training yourself and learning the language of agreement and the acceptance.
Oh, I don't know if anyone can do it.
Yeah, it's hard.
We're going to reference the same roommate who I threw an empty thing of milk at.
Right.
His big plan when he first said he wanted to move out to LA was he wanted to be a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of those guys who, like, he always had a good one-liner. And I was like, dude, writing would be great for you. And then all of a sudden, he got out there and he got the acting bug.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, you don't really have what I would call the timing or the look, unless that look is Mass Murder Bomber number 3.
Right.
And he did a lot of improv stuff. And God bless him, he's trying. But it's just like...
He's still out there?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. He's been out there, I think, for a decade now.
Wow. Speaking of improv...
But it's just like, it's rough.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of improv...
It is. It's not easy. What's up?
I used to be a nice person.
And then I think you still are.
I think you are.
Well, I am, but I think that this show has awoken some very cynical side of my brain.
Oh, I meant to wear my unicorn horn for you today.
You got a unicorn horn?
I do.
I have a unicorn mask and hooves in my Amazon Prime cart, and I'm just waiting for the right moment when I know my husband won't check the bank account.
Nice. I was going to wear my unicorn horn because you said that before you met me it was all unicorns and rainbows.
Yeah, like my brain was filled with like unicorns and rainbows. And Haas has a very like gross, sick sense of humor.
Very cynical.
Right, very cynical. And so I'm laying in my bed on Saturday night, and I look at my phone, and it says, singer Meatloaf has collapsed on stage and been rushed to the hospital.
Yeah, oh. Part of that is true.
And I'm like, oh my God, I love Meatloaf.
Yes. Like, especially with eggs, like yeah. You put the breading in there.
No. The singer Meatloaf.
Oh,
the song that you're playing. Okay,
yes.
Okay.
Right. Makes sense.
Meatloaf was my first grown-up concert. There's your first concert you go to as a kid.
Were you in a relationship at
no,
the time?
No, but listen, I was from Granite City, Illinois, and the only thing, the only music that we had access to was like our dad's like old Casey stuff. Like the first CD I ever got was Steppenwolf. Because,
oh my Lord.
Wow.
Listen, my group of friends all had like blue-collar dads, and we listened to really weird stuff, and we loved Meatloaf. So when I read that he had collapsed on stage, I was devastated. I'm like, oh my God, poor Meatloaf, because he's the shit. He makes wonderful music.
Well, how old is he now? I mean, is
late 60s, I think?
He doesn't seem to age because he looked 60 when he was 30.
Yeah, he did.
So he's one of those guys that like peaked a little late.
I think the age train hit him hard at a young age, and it's just kind of stabled out for the last 20 years.
Well, by the way, did we ever figure out what that is? Like, he'll do anything for love, but he won't do that.
Butt stuff.
That's I always thought that.
I
the day it came out, I was like, that's butt stuff.
If anyone does butt
and
stuff.
And it's from the point of view of the chick.
If anyone does butt stuff, it's somebody like Meatloaf.
That's true.
So I'm not ruling out that it's butt stuff.
I think it's butt stuff.
So, well, you know, I'll tell you what. Ever since his big collapse, I have
dieting, maybe?
I won't diet. Eat salad. Toss salad.
That's exactly what it was.
That's full circle.
Damn it.
That's
I used to be unicorn and rainbows, and that's now I'm talking about licking buttholes.
That's my girl.
Okay, so I want to
show... By the way, third butthole reference on the show.
Is it really?
Yeah,
I wasn't counting. I'm glad somebody did.
The kid saying he wished he came out of a different butthole. Butt stuff, and now toss some salad.
Nice. Well, I'm going to show you guys, in case you have not seen
buttholes?
It. No, I'm going to show you the Meatloaf video, because it's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. So... This is what he calls a collapse. Okay, hang on.
That's what I call laying down at night. The person taking the video even laughs.
I think
is he still singing?
I think he sings another line.
I think it's the back. It's either a backing track or there's background singers.
It looks like he takes the microphone and says, and I would do anything... But I won't do that. And then he lets it go, and then it's the background singers.
Yeah.
And what are people doing right there?
Right now, they're all rushing to his aid because he just collapsed. If that is a collapse, I am an African-American NBA player. Watch this again. Hang on.
I mean, it's a very controlled fall.
He must have known it ahead of time. Like, he started to feel it or something.
Or he faked the whole thing for publicity.
I love that girl's laugh.
I know. Like, it's so faked.
Okay, now here come all the people rushing to his aid.
Do you think they asked Meatloaf, are you okay? Or is it Mr. Meatloaf? Or is it Mr. Loaf?
We love you, Meatloaf! Like, he's laying on stage like a gutted pig, and everybody's soaking. You know what it looks like? It looks like when my pig comes up and wants his belly rubbed.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went on his side for a second, and then he laid on his back.
Like, he literally, like, he tosses the microphone stand down, and then he, like, just slowly gets on his hands and knees, and then he just rolls over on his back.
Yep.
It looks like a dog that wants his belly rubbed.
Who wants a belly rub?
And so,
who's a good boy?
And so because Hoss has darkened my unicorn and rainbow mind...
I call shenanigans on that fall.
I'm in bed on Saturday night, and I'm like, oh my God, Meatloaf collapses. And then I watch the video, and I will admit, I've had a fantastic bullshit filter my whole life.
Sure.
The minute I watched the video, I cracked up laughing. I'm like, this is so fake. This is the fakest fall I've ever seen in my life. And so then at the Hound show, I showed Hoss. I'm like, look at this video and tell me what you think. And he instantly starts laughing too. And so then we got this great idea that we need to do like a Meatloaf flop. Because in hockey, if you get a penalty for that shit. If you fall on purpose, they call it like flopping or diving.
2 minutes for flopping.
Meatloaf, 2 minutes for flopping.
Or embellishment.
Yeah, embellishment.
Exactly. And so I don't think that he should be able to get away with this without people giving him some shit because he did not collapse.
So I didn't follow up on the story. How long was he in the hospital for?
Well, for a
I
while.
I know they kept him overnight.
For a while, they're like, his condition is undisclosed. And then they came out and said, he's been released. Least it was just dehydration.
So they probably gave
him. He was hungry.
Have you seen the man? He is not missing any meals or drinks.
No, but I bet you that dude sweats a lot.
Well, that's true. And if there's one thing I can tell you, it's that I hate really dry meatloaf.
It's true.
I hate really burned meatloaf. I can make a good meatloaf.
Meatloaf. It was like a little crispy on the edges.
Yes.
No. So what I do is I make a meatloaf pie. And so it's like a layer of meatloaf.
Yes.
And then it's a layer of mashed potatoes on top of it. And then
it's like shepherd's
and
pie.
And then it's cheese on the top. And it's like in a...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like shepherd's pie.
I used to go here.
What are you pointing at? Jesus.
Belly.
God. Stop, everybody.
Meatloaf goes here.
Stop. Guys. So, hey, we got it.
Comes out here.
The show has gone off the track. Four butthole references. We have to get the show moving here.
Yeah.
But I want to stay on Facebook because, Honky, I'm wondering if you would be willing to go to the grocery store and find some meatloaf seasoning and do a meatloaf flop for us in the aisle.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, I would be honored. You know, as a medic,
yes.
You know what?
I'm familiar, you know.
Honky will do anything for the show, but he
won't
do
that.
But he won't
do that.
I might put the seasonings up my butt.
Five. That's a handful of buttholes.
I don't want you to do any butt stuff. I just want you to go to the grocery store.
Okay.
And I want you to ask a clerk where you can find meatloaf seasoning.
All right.
And when you can find it, I just want you to very slowly drop to your knees and crawl a few feet and then roll over.
Embellish.
And we're going to send my husband with you to film the whole thing.
Sounds great.
Does that sound like fun?
That sounds
too bad
wonderful.
We don't have a silk scarf for him to wear like Meatloaf wears.
This is using two of my combined skills.
We're the Mano House. We have everything. We have an entire closet of costumes and props.
Oh, my God.
You do. I just returned one from Christmas.
Honky walks in the door and hands me an elf costume. I think, who all's worn that? You, Gary, and Addison.
And possibly my little sister, my brother.
It's like a Johnny Brox.
Good Lord. So, yeah. Well, Honky, we love you, and we're glad that you're home. I really want you to just let me know every time you're home, because you can just, like, it's an open door. I might as well give you a key. You know? We love you, so you can come anytime.
Especially for next week when they're not here.
I'm thinking about doing it. I'll show up here, and whoever's here,
I'm here for the show!
We will be here one more week, and then we are moving into the Turtle House, and there'll be all sorts of interesting stuff going on with that. But, Honky, do you want to plug your Facebook, your website, your...
Yes.
Butthole?
What? I might have to. I'm going to... Seven or eight, yep.
Eight.
While I'm in St. Louis.
The butthole count is at eight.
First of all, I want to give a shout-out to all the people there at the Improv Shop in the Central West End. That's the St. Louis's premier long-form improv comedy training institution here in the Lou. And I'll probably be... I think on Thursday, I'm going to play with their long-form team, and then they do like a jam. So I might also be teaching some workshops around town, so you could follow.
Is Bill Cott involved with that?
Bill ran the Improv Trick. That was his school that started here in St. Louis. And then when he moved out to L.A., they formed the Improv Shop.
Got it.
Which came in a little bit after that. But all just wonderful people. It's a great community of improvisers here in St. Louis. But check out facebook.com/BJHonky. BJ Honky Lang is my name. And you can get on there and see all my shenanigans.
Well, we're going to sign off the podcast right now, but if you want to go back and log on to my Facebook, yes, at Kelly Mano, you're going to see the meatloaf flopping, because that's what we're doing next.
I'm ready to go to the store. Jimmy, get your keys!
Okay. Ma! The meatloaf!
We will be back next week. Hoss, I'm not letting you do a sign-off, because it's going to be about butt stuff. So I'm just going to tell everybody to be good, have fun, stay sassy, classy, and a bit smart-assy. And we will see you next week. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
That's all in the past. Legends built to last. But she's got something new. She's a power girl. She's a da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Come on, fellas, place your bets, 'cause you ain't seen nothing yet. She's a top.
Thank you very much.